Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Fama lana min shafi'in.
So now we have no intercessors.
وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ
And not a devoted friend.
فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
Then if we only had a return to the world and could be of the believers.
As you were previously with us, brothers and sisters, we have reached the 100th verse of this surah, Surah Al-Shu'ara. The verse states, فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Now, then we have no intercessors, وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ nor a single intimate friend, فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Now, if we had only a chance of return, we would be of the believers. In the previous episode, we were following these verses of this chapter, where the sinners, the ones who were in the fire of hell, believed and recognized that they were in dalalin mubin, and they tried to lay the fault and blame on the other's shoulders. So in this verse, they continue saying, now then we have no intercessors. فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ Also the 101st verse, وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ We have no single intimate friend. In hereafter, the existence of intercession is certain. But there are a group of misguided people, such as the polytheists, the infidels, and some criminals, that will not definitely enjoy it, because the condition of being intercessed is having faith, and righteous deeds. Iman, together with righteous deeds and amal salih. There is this tradition recorded in Majma'ul Bayan, which indicates that the Immaculate Imams alayhim salam have made an oath that they will intercede for their true followers. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, on that day, a believer may intercede for his family members. And again, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, by Allah, on the hereafter day, we will intercede for the true followers in such a way that the deviated ones will protest. This is the importance of intercession. فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ May Allah keep us away from the ones who will not enjoy intercession on that day.
حر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qum.
So this is the intercession that these sinners are regretting about. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, in the hereafter, the Quran, the believer's family, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam will intercede. However, as the Holy Quran announces, the disbelievers and infidels will say, now we have no intercessors. فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ. This fa is an article that shows that the situation we are stuck right now, that we do not have any intercessors and no single intimate friend, is because of what we have done to ourselves. It is because of what we sent beforehand in the world when we started believing in the false idols and the fact that we made these idols equal to the Lord of the worlds is nusawwikum birabbil alameen. This is our own result. Anyway, in short, then they will say neither do the deities come to intercede for them as they imagined in the world, nor can their friends help them in that situation. They are totally stuck in there. Sadiqin Hamim. The human beings are definitely in need of these two intimate friends, both in this world and hereafter. And the kind of friend is useful for hereafter that our relationship with him or her is based on faith and righteous deeds. Now, we have some traditions showing what the conditions of being able to achieve this level and deserving this intercession are that we will, God willing, mention some in the next episode. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry, in your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
The cultivation of an Islamic identity has been our ongoing topic. Our discussion has reached a beautiful level where we have talked about many things. We talked about the components of an identity. If you remember that idea, we talked about the idea of mind, body, and soul inside of Islam identifies who you are. The I-ness and the who-ness is what an identity is. When somebody asks you, who are you, that's the answer of your identity. Then we talked about the idea of the power of thoughts and how thoughts sometimes can really cultivate who we are. Remember the chain of thought, which seemed like years ago now? From fikr all the way to thought. That one instance of a thought now could really kind of have an impact on who we are. And then we talked about the three barriers in this identity. From this inferiority complex that I refer to as internalized Islamophobia, to the power of doubt, the destructive nature of doubt, to a fear of rejection. And I said that if you remove these three elements, then you get to a stage where now you are comfortable with being distinct. That was last night's talk. I talked about the fact that being distinct is a very fitri, innate reality. All of us, deep down inside, we all wish to be distinct. We have this idea of being ma'lum, known. We want to announce our arrival. Either indirectly, directly, subconsciously, consciously. There are those who walk in a room and want the whole world to know it. There are those who quietly come and sit in the corner, but nonetheless, inside, through various means, they are and they understand that I am somebody, I am unique, and I want to make sure that people recognize me for who I am. The example that I gave last night of many that really stood out for me, actually wasn't my example, was that you could be sitting in a very small group, right? 3 to 4 people. One man comes and says salam to 3 of you and ignores you. If you saw yourself as nothing but a part of a group, that would have been sufficient for you, that salam, but it wasn't. You were annoyed that how come he didn't recognize me? So even though I'm sitting in a part of one group of 4 of us, I am distinct. I am 1/4 of that group. Now the whole premise last night was the idea that if we do have this innate fitri need to be distinct, we need to direct that towards being distinct in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I talked about how and what and where all that was yesterday. And that brings me to tonight. Now tonight, when you remove those barriers, part of the tool that we use to remove the barriers is knowledge. Now before I get to my content, let me make one sort of a discussion as a muqaddama, as a preliminary talk that's important. This dunya, this world is a world of distraction. It's a world of tests, as you know. It's a world of one hurdle after one hurdle after one hurdle. I oftentimes tell my elders in the audience now, you should, with your children, sit down and tell them your story. Tell them where you were born and when you got here and how you got here and where you came from. Because all they see is that you walk into a building, you turn on the mic switch, turn on the light switch, and voila, the program is ready. Or they see the fact that, you know, they have a home and everything is there and the latest and greatest and all that. They don't see the journey. Because part of what you end up doing by telling your children or your grandkids, for some of you, that journey is that you give them a little bit of this understanding that if you struggle, you could achieve something. One of the challenges of this generation of ours today, these millennials that I will kind of target between 13 and about 30, 31, is that they look for ways to make things as convenient as possible, and God bless them for that. Everything is an app nowadays. Right? When I was their age, an app was nachos and a spinach later dip. That was an app in a restaurant. What are your apps today? Now you say app and something else. So anything and everything they've made very convenient. Click of a mouse, a swipe of a finger, and that's it. It'll take you from point A to point B. Imagine those days now. We used to call a person and write down those directions. 401 West, 401 West, get off at 410 South, right? Steeles, Kennedy, and running it down. The problem is that while convenience is great, convenience only goes so far. And if you are convenient enough in terms of looking for ways now to make things better, the element of struggle becomes removed from you. That sometimes, and not everything can be achieved by a swipe of a finger. And somewhere along the ways now, this generation now has adopted, I'm being very, very general, I realize that, not all of you are like that, but somewhere along the way, this equation was adopted by today's youth that ease equals value. If it's easy, it's valuable. If it's not easy for you, it's not valuable, which means what? Leave it and search for the next easy thing. So if you are stressed out at your job, if the course is too hard, if the marriage now is not right, even 90 days in, 30 days in, then drop it. Quit the job, drop the course, divorce her. It's not worth it. And we think for a second that the ease that's in the job, in the course, in the marriage, is from the job and the course and the marriage. But the issue is me. So I will go from job to job to job to job, looking for the ideal job that's easy. Nothing is ever easy, of course not. Not jobs. And I will be this, you know, this rotating door in and out of jobs and out of jobs. And until I realize that, whoa, whoa, maybe it's not my past seven jobs. Maybe it's me. And so I tell a lot of young couples that are not willing to fight for their marriages that, look, you guys can separate and divorce. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But if you think that the problems that you face internally will stop at this marriage, you're wrong. You'll take those issues you have and you will now enter the second marriage, the third marriage, the fourth marriage. Until you actually define now the issues within me. That requires a little bit of struggle. Whereas Islam says not ease equals value, but rather struggle equals success. I have said this many times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in everything a result-oriented creator. He's very much a process-oriented creator. Which means that if you adopt the right path and you adopt the right process and you work hard, it sounds better in Urdu that Allah wants, doesn't want kaman from you, He wants koshish from you. Doesn't want perfection from you, He wants struggle from you.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
Limelight. Bacterial infections are the second leading cause of death worldwide, accounting for 1 in 8 of all deaths in 2019. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Global Times wrote in this regard, bacterial infections are the second leading cause of death worldwide, accounting for 1 in 8 of all deaths in 2019, the first global estimate of their lethality revealed recently. The massive new study published in the Lancet Journal looked at deaths from 33 common bacterial pathogens and 11 types of infection across 204 countries and territories. The pathogens were associated with 7.7 million deaths, 13.6% of the global total. In 2019, the year before the COVID-19 pandemic took off, that made them the second leading cause of death after ischemic heart disease, which includes heart attacks, the study said. Just 5 of the 33 bacteria were responsible for half of those deaths. Staphylococcus, Itria coli, and pneumonia, and S. aureus is a bacterium common in human skin and nostrils, but behind a range of illnesses, while E. coli commonly causes food poisoning. This study was conducted under the framework of the Global Burden of Disease, a vast research program funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, involving thousands of researchers across the world. These new data for the first time reveal the full extent of the global public health challenge posed by bacterial infections, said a study co-author Christopher Murray, the director of the U.S.-based Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, adding, "It is of utmost importance to put these results on the radar of global health initiatives so that a deeper dive into these deadly pathogens can be conducted and proper investments are made to slash the number of deaths and infections." The authors called for increased funding, including for new vaccines, to lessen the number of deaths, also warning against unwarranted antibiotic use. Hand washing is among the measures advised to prevent infection. Also, Lancet publication noted, "We estimated deaths associated with 33 bacterial genera or species across 11 infectious syndromes in 2019 using methods from the Global Burden of Diseases, Injuries, and Risk Factors study 2019, in addition to a subset of the input data described in the Global Burden of Antimicrobial Resistance 2019 study. This study included 343 million individual records or isolates covering 11,361 study location years. They used three modeling steps to estimate the number of deaths associated with each pathogen, deaths in which infection had a role, the fraction of deaths due to infection that are attributable to a given infectious syndrome, and the fraction of deaths due to an infectious syndrome that are attributable to a given pathogen. Estimates were produced for all ages and for males and females across 204 countries and territories in 2019. 95% uncertainty intervals were calculated for final estimates of death and infections associated with 33 bacterial pathogens following standard GPD methods by taking 2.5 and 79.5 percentiles across 1,000 posterior draws for each quantity of interest. According to Lancet, from an estimated 13.7 million infection-related deaths in 2019, there were 7.7 million deaths associated with the 33 bacterial pathogens, both resistant and susceptible to antimicrobials across 11 infectious syndromes estimated in this study. They estimated deaths associated with the 33 bacterial pathogens to comprise 13.6% of all global deaths and 56.2% of all sepsis-related deaths in 2019. The age standardized mortality rate associated with these bacterial pathogens was the highest in the sub-Saharan Africa superregion, with 230 deaths per 100,000 population, and lowest in the high-income superregion, with 52.2 deaths per 100,000 population. S. aureus was the leading bacterial cause of death in 135 countries and was also associated with the most deaths in individuals older than 15 years globally. Among children younger than 5 years, S. pneumonia was the pathogen associated with the most deaths. In 2019, more than 6 million deaths occurred as a result of three bacterial infectious syndromes, with lower respiratory infections and bloodstream infections, each causing more than 2 million deaths, and peritoneal and intra-abdominal infections causing more than 1 million deaths. We'll be right back.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity. Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We were talking about people who are greedy, people who are stingy, and we said that is a problem for the entire world, for the entire society, because people like this, they just end up sucking the life out of this world and out of people. And we have to make sure that we do not fall into this, you know, this notion of greed. Sometimes it makes it easier for me and you to avoid greed and stinginess when we know how bad it is. Because sometimes when I don't know how bad something is, I don't really care about it. But once I know, then I kind of try to prevent it and stay away from it. So I want to look at some of the hadith of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam in this regard, where they try to show us truly what stinginess and greed is in reality. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he says, Al-Bukhlu Jilbabul Maskana. He says, stinginess and greed are the garment of humility. I mean, what else does a person wants? We want to be respected, we want to be loved, then we have to give. If we're greedy, we're in fact what? Being humiliated. Now one might ask, look at the rich people, they are respected, they are loved, people love them. Look at fulan, they start to name names who are celebrities, people love them because they are rich. Well, the idea is, the kuffar, the non-believers, or even the believers who are going to that side, they're not seeing things in the scale, or at least in the sight of Allah. If they have, then they would have seen what humiliated these people are. Me and you as believers, we have to look at it from Allah's perspective. When we do, then we can see how humiliated they are. They are the people of fire. They are the people of hellfire. They're not the people of respect. But because we've been so much brainwashed, we're seeing things differently. We're seeing it from a worldly perspective, from a shaitanic perspective. Allah says, "Shaitan yuzayyin li awliya'ah." For his own people, he beautifies things. So a person who is a millionaire and a billionaire, instead of people hating him, people love him and respect him. But which people? Awliya of shaitan. Awliya Allah will hate those people. Why? Because they are far away from Allah. They are the food and they are the wood, as the Quran calls it, of hellfire. So why should I love them? So in fact, they are humiliated. They have worn the garment of humiliation in this world and in the hereafter. And then the Imam alayhi salamullah says, Al-bukhlu bil-mawjood su'ud-dhanni bil-ma'bood. When a person becomes stingy in the sense that he does not give what he has, then that is him doubting his Lord. As simple as that. And I think we spoke about that previously, how one doubts his Lord. Now, let us take just a quick short break and then we'll come back and continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program A Bridge. So we are looking at the hadith that talks about how bad stinginess can be for the person and greed, and how it can destroy a person's life in this world and in the hereafter. One of the results of greed and stinginess is a dhul, humility. The hadith says, "Al-bukhlu yudullu musahiba, wa yu'azzu majaniba." It says, greed, it will humiliate those who indulge in it, and those who avoid it are the valued ones, the honored ones. So greed, if a person becomes companion of it, will be humiliated. Those who avoid it becomes honored. When it comes to people as well, they are not loved. The Prophet says, "Bakhilun, al-bakhil ba'idun min Allah, ba'idun min nas." He who is stingy is far away from Allah, far away from people. "Qaribun min al-nar," he is close to hellfire. Also, those who are stingy, they have no peace of mind at all. And we know this how? Because the Prophet told us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, "Aqallu an-nasi rahatun al-bakhil." The one with the least comfort is a stingy person. The least comfort. Why? Because he sleeps and wakes up thinking about his money and how he can make more. He has no peace of mind whatsoever. Their life is just numbers and business. What kind of life is that? You don't even get to enjoy it here, and in the hereafter, a person gets to go to hellfire, God forbid. So what's the point? Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, they will be what? The wood fire in the Day of Judgment. He says, "Annas," people on Day of Judgment are of three kinds. And then he says, "وَتَقُولُ لِلْغَنِي," fire will say to the rich person, "يَا مَنْ وَهَبَهُ اللَّهُ دُنْيًا كَثِيرًا," "O you who Allah has given you plenty of wealth," "وَاسِعَةً فَيْضًا وَسَأَلَهُ الْحَقِيرُ الْيَسِيرِ قَرْضًا فَأَبَى," and Allah gave you so much than you can think of. And when a person who is humble, who has nothing, asked him, then he refused, إِلَّا بُخْلًا فَتَزْدُرُهُ, that person who became just more stingy, and then fire will consume him. Now, I'm very sure me and you, we don't want to be humiliated. We don't want to be people of disease. We don't want to be people of hellfire. We don't want to be people who are hated by by people here. So what else do we have? What is our other option? The other option is for me and you to give, to be generous, to help other people. And sometimes we don't understand that the diseases, the problems that we have, is sometimes it's just because of ourselves, because we fail to give. And we ask, why us? A hadith from Imam Radha alayhi salam, he says, "Iyakum wal bukhl," I warn you not to be bakhil, "fa'innaha ahatun la takunu fi hurun wala mu'min," for it is a disease that never happens to a free man or a believer. "Inna khilaful iman," for it is against belief. So sometimes when we become stingy and greedy, we put ourselves in harm's way. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله، اللهم صل على محمد وآله.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. On the continuation of this program, Lantern, we have an interesting story, and I invite you to listen to it. The Greedy Lion. It was an incredibly hot day, and a lion was feeling very hungry. He came out of his den and searched here and there. He could find only a small hare. He caught the hare with some hesitation. "This hare can't fill my stomach," thought the lion. As the lion was about to kill the hare, a deer ran that way. The lion became greedy. He thought, "Instead of eating this small hare, let me eat the big deer." He let the hare go and went behind the deer. But the deer had vanished into the forest. The lion now felt sorry for letting the hare off. Now, the point of this story, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. This is Ali, your host, from IRB English Radio, and we shall be with you, inshallah, in our today's show, with our topic. Dear brothers and sisters, in this show, we are going to talk about greed and avarice. If the whole world and everything in it is going to be given to the greed, to the people who are greedy, their thirst will never be quenched, and they will never be satisfied, and they will still search and strive to get more and bigger things. Before talking about the greed and avarice, at first I'd like to invite you to have a look at the literal meaning of the word greed and avarice. Actually, greed and avarice means pursuing long and unattainable and inappropriate desires, having unpleasant and unnecessary expectations and unjust desires, and having an insatiable spirit, going after something out of whim, lust, and outburst, and clinging to it in vain. Also, actually, greed and avarice means incorrect desire and strong desire, showing improper and excessive interest, especially in property, materials in general, worldly possessions, and public funds and treasury, and encroachment on the rights and property of others, and amassing of wealth, as well as in the meaning of seeking authority, leadership, and lust, and sensualism and materialism. They're all in all the descriptions and attributes of the greed, and let's say the definitions of, let's say, the avarice and the greed itself. Greed and covetousness, from the viewpoint of Islam, are ugly characteristics and an ugly and corrupting psychological state, and are anti-Quranic and Islamic values, just as they are anti-moral and human values that are mentioned in Islamic traditions and teachings. Greed and avarice in the religion and moral principles of Islam have been harshly condemned, known as unpleasant. And the dangerous consequences and bitter and harmful results have been pointed out and expressed on this bad attribute. So is it greed and avarice or unreasonable expectations that actually moves and, let's say, pushes the people from this part to another part, from this side to another side? The range of human expectations, greed, extravagance, desires, and various and unpleasant desires is very wide and extremely abundant, and the needy, insatiable spirit has always existed in humans and has constantly been felt. Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Even though the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given various and abundant blessings to all people, and provided them with a lot of wealth and resources, instead of bowing and praising in front of Him, the Almighty, and thanking Him and submitting and obeying Him for all these blessings that He has given us, or He has given the people, these people of greed and avarice, they still ask for more and have extra expectations. Greed and avarice makes them to ask for an increase in their wealth and blessings by any means possible. And this unreasonable expectation and greediness spirit taking them to the wrong path. Except those who were not tempted, were not deceived by the Satan, and they have been tested for their patience, and they kept their own souls not to ask for more while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given as much as they need, and they actually observed their piety in their own lives. So this is the difference between a greedy and a pious person who actually suffices to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So based on what has been said, it can be said that some people are greedy and expectant, are not satisfied with their rights and share. While these people are hated by all, they are despicable and lowly, and they will never be satisfied without need and satiated by possessing this unsavory quality of greed and avarice. Many poets and, let's say, many scientists and thinkers have described and talked about such bad attributes of human being, that in different literature they are said and told with different wording. But now I just want to refer to one of the poems of Sa'di, the famous poet, the famous Persian poet. He says that the greedy is hungry with the world, and the satisfied person, which is the opposite side of the greedy, he is satisfied with one bread. How beautifully this great poet actually portrays the ugliness of greed. It means that perhaps there are the people who need even their nightly bread, but they do not covet people's wealth or worldly possessions, because they are content and pious. And perhaps there are rich and wealthy people who are constantly greedy and expect a lot. They are greedy for the wealth of the world and other people's wealth.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub.
In the limelight.
Since the 2008 global financial recession, Europe lost its resources and had no hope of being revived completely. In its recent speech, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has claimed neither the COVID-19 pandemic nor Russia-Ukraine conflict has played a pivotal role in bringing about the current economic downturn in Europe. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted, neither the COVID-19 pandemic nor Russia-Ukraine conflict has played a pivotal role in bringing about the current economic downturn in Europe. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has argued. He attributed it to growth in Asia instead, warning that there likely will be a return to the good old days in the foreseeable future. Speaking recently at an economic summit in Berlin organized by Stutt-Zeitung, Scholz said that for years countries in North America and Europe had enjoyed a combination of stable growth, low inflation and high employment rates. This, however, according to the chancellor, was an economic exception that cannot be expected to last any longer. Russia-Ukraine conflict and the economic consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic may have expedited the end of this era, the politician opined, saying they were not the trigger for it. Schultz went on to explain that for decades, countries such as Vietnam and Indonesia have mainly been viewed as a source of cheap goods for the European, American, and increasingly the Chinese markets. But in the meantime, the same Asian nations experienced an explosive increase in the number of people belonging to the middle class. Those individuals' purchasing power rose accordingly. This, the German Chancellor postulated, is what has led to growing inflation elsewhere. He noted that at the same time, this is a major story of success enabled by globalization. He also warned against deglobalization, calling on Germany and other European nations to embrace more trade with emerging economies. Of course, trade by fair rules. An increasingly multipolar world is arranging itself right now, fundamentally anew, a development which is best seen in Southeast Asia, Schultz argued. He hastened to reassure German businesses that they have nothing to fear as their goods will remain in high demand in this new world and they only stand to gain more. Speaking of the current energy crisis in his country, Schultz accused Russia of weaponizing gas exports, adding that Germany had made a mistake in relying too much on one supplier. He vowed that Berlin will never repeat this going forward, meaning that dependence on China will have to be reduced as well. Germany, he said, needs to look for new suppliers and markets for its goods. The chancellor promised to make sure Europe's economic powerhouse sees itself through the coming winter. Meanwhile, according to Euronews, the managing director of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, has recently said Europe's economy is projected to be badly hit by the energy crisis triggered by Russia-Ukraine conflict, with at least half of the 19 countries that use the euro heading for a recession. The horizon has darkened significantly over the last year, Kristalina Georgieva told Euronews recently, adding, 1 year ago, we were recovering from COVID and we finished with over 6% global growth and then two shocks. Omicron and Russia-Ukraine conflict have not only interrupted the recovery but reversed it. The number one priority is to fight and win against inflation. What does that mean? Tightening financial conditions, interest rates are going up, she noted, adding, when central banks are stepping on the brakes, finance ministers cannot press the accelerator. The IMF chief did not mince her words, saying the picture she painted of the global economy was unmistakably dark, with a worsening cost of living crisis and momentum slowing down in America and Asia. For Europe, the outlook is even bleaker. Europe is affected more severely by the increase of energy prices. The heat on European economies is such that we actually expect half of the countries in the Eurozone to experience at least two quarters of negative growth. In other words, a recession, she said, without naming the countries. A recession is generally defined as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. She said, just to give you a sense as to how significant the hit on Europe is, our pre-pandemic projections and our current projections differ by half a trillion euros. In other words, the loss of the European people is quite dramatic. In its latest outlook, the IMF estimated the Eurozone to expand by 3.1% in 2022, but just by a meager 0.5% in 2023.